thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Talking Flickster podcast. Miss Lee, I think we need a bigger fanfare, don't you? It's not big enough.
No, I think we need something bigger. It would be nice to make it sound like, you know, we're the only podcast to listen to about movies.
Jesus. Okay. Well, I think we need more trumpets, Mr. Lee. I think there's more trumpets. That's what I'm talking about,
more trumpets.
Right? But yes.
No, I think, I don't know. I think we just need better background.
Okay. We'll work on that.
That's an inside joke, but that's
Yes. No. I hope you do like my background, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, I do. I do like your background today. Looks awesome.
Tropics, right? Yeah.
You're at the beach. Oh,
got the crystal blue water over here and the palm trees over there and the nice sand. And looks like there's some rocks there as well.
The sand gets in my feet. Don't like that.
Yeah, no. I'm a socks on the beach kind of guy. Hope you are too, Mr. Lee. This is why we don't go to the beach very often. Anyway,
we're not together anyway.
We have done that before though, Mr. Lee.
Oh, we have.
Hey, we are here to talk movies, and this is the episode where we get one of our Talking Flicksters on to review a recent movie and give us their thoughts on it. Today, Mr. Lee, it's The Smashing Machine.
Yeah, look, this is the new The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, movie, who is playing a character called Mark Kerr. And it's actually based on a true story. And I'm excited to hear what the Talking Flickster is going to say about it today. As we all know, Emily Blunt is in it too. They were in a movie previously. Is it one or two movies they've been in? Because it was Jungle Cruise. And I thought there was another one they've been in too.
They're calling this an anti-biopic, this particular type of film. Yeah, so
which that sounds interesting. Have you heard of that before?
Bit of a twist. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've heard of biopics. I haven't heard anti-biopics, but it does look really good. And what a fantastic story to get behind. So, we'll meet our Flickster in just a sec. Before we do, Mr. Lee, what should we do?
I think we should listen to the trailer. Let's do it.
How do you know Mark Kerr?
The end is near.
Oh, we go way back. But he's a buddy of mine. So
I think. Come on, baby. Too much?
Never.
Fine. Too much?
No.
Please welcome in his Octagon debut, Mark Kerr!
Winning is the best feeling there is. It's 40,000 people, and they're cheering you on. There's no other high like it in the world.
No contract, no money?
No money.
Do you have any stronger pain medication?
Advil?
Advil?
Yeah.
Don, would you like
some? No.
They're handing them out like candy. Let's all get in. Let's all, everybody get in. Yeah, Don, can you take this picture for us?
Yeah.
What are you thinking at the beginning of the fight?
It's simple. Am I going to hurt him before he hurts me? Yes,
this Grand Prix to crown the greatest fighter in the world. He has come back from the brink. Let's see if he can pull out a victory over Mark Coleman.
Have you spoken to either about fighting such a good friend for a life-changing amount of money?
I just need you to let me in. I
took the ball. Always about you.
It's
only about you.
About you. Let's go. My big strong man, I love you.
Wow, doesn't that sound epic? Especially with Elvis Presley there. I did it my way. Wow. So let's introduce our Talking Flickster for today. Welcome to the podcast, Danny.
Thank you.
How's it all going?
I'm great, actually. Yeah, a bit sunburnt from the weekend, but pretty good.
Oh, yeah, because we had the Currie knockout in Tamworth over the weekend. Yes, and I actually went down on the Friday. It was huge.
Mm, yeah.
Just to make a quick correction there, Mr. Lee, it's actually Frank Sinatra that had...
Is it?
Yeah. I didn't think it was Elvis.
Elvis Presley?
No. Big Frankie Sinatra, yeah. But
there you go. Think I would have known that.
Well, I mean, that would be in your personal collection somewhere. yeah. But do you reckon that suits the film, that particular type of song?
Look, it did. And look, I don't want to tip on the side of Grant, but maybe Elvis did do a cover.
Yeah.
It could have been. I don't know. Because it fooled me. I think it sounded like Elvis, but we know it to be a Frank Sinatra song, but maybe he covered
it. Who's right here? I wonder. I'll do some Googling while you two talk.
Yeah.
Well, actually, while we were listening to the trailer, I actually had a look, and Emily Blunt and Dwayne Johnson's only been in another movie, which was Jungle Cruise. This is their second time they've been in a movie together. So I think, we cleared that one up as well. So, yeah.
Good.
So, Danny, tell me what was your impressions of the movie?
Autobiography was I really get behind that genre. I really like to watch true stories, and I think for this film, Dwayne Johnson really wanted to show his acting range and sort of pull away from the idea that he's just an action star. And I really think he's nailed the performance, because it didn't take me long into the movie to actually forget that it was him and that I was watching, you know, a performance of a real person. So I think, you know, it succeeded where he probably wanted it to succeed.
He actually was in the makeup chair for like 3 or 4 hours. And
I would think 2.5.
So much stuff.
Well, yeah. The tattoos alone, like you don't see a single one except for, yeah.
Which that's a massive job in itself. And then, you know, all the actual face, because you look at him and you go, I know it's Dwayne Johnson, but it doesn't even look anything like him. He actually does look like Mark Kerr. And I was shocked how well they did the makeup. It's a credit to the makeup artist who did that. So do you think The Rock was the right person to play this character?
I absolutely do believe The Rock. You know, his connection to wrestling, the fact that his father was a wrestler. Yes, it's set in the UFC, the beginning stages of the UFC and the MMA, but he was a wrestler, and that really is something that's in Dwayne The Rock Johnson's wheelhouse and in his blood. So it was probably something that he was passionate about and wanted to tell this man's story.
Mm. This was obviously set back in the 90s, but do you know the story with Mark Kerr? And did you know it before watching this movie, or is it something that you caught on to?
Well, look, I didn't know a lot about Mark Kerr's, because this is the beginning of what became the UFC. But obviously I know now that it's in an octagon and it's very much, you know, hand-to-hand combat. Things like that, but this was back in the day when it was still in a boxing ring. So I don't remember my knowledge of UFC ever being in a ring. It's always been in the octagon. So for me, that was something I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And it's funny you say that, because I always thought it was just that, and that was it. What's the one that they say is fake? You know, was that the WWE? Is that the one
that's
they say
the
it's
one,
fake,
yes. Chris?
Yeah,
that was the
this
Rock.
One's not. Yeah,
no, this is
yeah,
real,
he, wasn't it? Yeah, but this one is, isn't it? Like, this is really full
yeah, mixed
boxing.
Martial arts. So yeah. You'll get jiu-jitsu, kickboxers, and wrestlers to see who's the ultimate fighter.
Danny, can we talk about the journey of Mark Kerr? Now, obviously, we know that you know, he gets into, you know, some drug addiction and things like that, and I mean, I guess it's really deep watching that kind of storyline, isn't it? Can you describe his journey and where he starts and where it kind of all unravels?
Yeah, so in the beginning, you really hit the ride of his highs. He's been undefeated in that collegiate area, looking at the Olympics, having a really undefeated sort of title against his name, and then things change for him. Once he's in two different areas. He's in Tokyo, for some fighting there, as well as back in America. And it really, that changes the way he approaches it. And there's painkillers as much as there are obvious steroid use. Mm. So, and then that changes, you know, the connection he has not only with his partner, but all the people that he's got around him with his fighting. So, yeah, it's really that journey of from such success to the pain and agony of what the reality is of what the body goes through when you're fighting. It's not a soft sport. It really is brutal. So, yeah.
Is it physically and also mentally, it'd be exhausting. And to train in a way that basically you're training and someone's punching you, or you're constantly punching somebody else, or a dummy or something or other, but it must be awful for their bodies, especially when they get a lot older, to actually be in a lot of pain, I reckon they would be.
Yeah, well, that's what's explored in the movie is the fact is the reason he's needing more heavier painkillers, because obviously the lesser ones aren't working as well. So it becomes that journey of being and needing a lot more pain medication to sort of get rid of that's that. Yeah, exactly.
And Danny, obviously Mark Kerr has this defeat in Japan. This is where a lot of things unravel as well. It's something that it was a shocking defeat. Realistically, it was something that people didn't see coming.
No, and that's the thing he was always talking about in the film. No, he doesn't lose to the point that he argues for one of the fights and successfully wins the dispute of an illegal move that ended the fight, so that it didn't go against his record of his first loss. So, you know, he's that passionate about the sport that, yeah, he got one of the decisions in one of his fights reversed because of an illegal move.
And so then that took it off. So technically he didn't lose.
He didn't lose that fight, but there was a lot of change after the drug addiction and where of using steroids and things like that. So, the reality is that not everybody is undefeated.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask, when you're talking about the steroids and the drug uses and all that, how did that implicate with his partner, who's played by Emily Blunt? How was her portrayal of the girlfriend basically living through all this?
Yeah, so I think in the movie what's really put forward is that she's noticing a lot of the changes and she's saying things, but what also is brought to the surface too is her own addiction, because there's a moment where he's making changes in his life but she hasn't. So there's that duality of the both of them in different stages. So I think, you know, that definitely brings some interest to the storyline that they both had.
It'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think between the two of them it was probably a meeting at the wrong time in their life, if that could be what it showed.
Well, let's talk about the psychological battle behind Mark Kerr's journey. Do you feel that was portrayed well in the film, or do you think, you know, maybe there was
something? Interestingly, sometimes there was moments where it would show you a glimpse of what the reality of all of this beatings and head hits, you know, with the medication. Then all of a sudden you'd see him straight from having a medication to the next fight. I felt like the edit is where they could have lingered a little bit more, just to give you a bit more perspective and context about what was going on really. Although, you know, it is in the title, The Smashing Machine. He does definitely, when he fights, he's pretty brutal. And then when things are reversed and he's not doing as well, it's very brutal, the sport and the things that are happening to him. So, but the edit itself was a bit choppy. And that's where I felt like there could have been a little bit more added to a scene or two that linked the fight back into the reality of what happens to him after a fight.
So what really surprised you the most about watching this movie, because you said you weren't sure anything about Mark Kerr, so was there something that really shocked you?
Look, in my family, there's a few fighters, and the reality of it isn't pretty. It isn't glorified. And I think the film really nails the idea of what it's like for a couple who where one of them is a fighter and the other is the supporting, you know. So I think that was really well handled, and it's not just put in there for Hollywood hype and everything like that. I think it's a subtle film that really does show you the nuances of what the reality of fighters go through all of the time. Like, you see the fight, you go home, but you don't see what happens when they have to go to the hospital, when they come home and they're in constant pain and things like that. And that is a reality of being in the fighting game. You just, in this movie, it's revealed in a way that is more realistic than other Hollywood films. So that surprised me a lot, because there's always a tendency to put a lot of, you know, glory and everything's fine and I want my next fight, when the reality is it takes a lot for them to get back ready to fight the next fight.
You imagine a lot of sports people who are in that high area of sports, like NRL, all these people who are, you know, Olympians, all that sort of thing. That must be something that they all deal with. It must be incredible to put their body through all that sort of stuff.
I think the recovery is the most important. Yeah, I think recovery is the most important part of the film, and I think that's where it really does show a reality rather than just glorifying what sport and boxing and martial arts and UFC is all about, because we see it and we think, you know, it's all wonderful and we can't wait for them to fight again. But honestly, it takes a toll on them.
Yeah, well, Danny, obviously with most biopics, the movie has to go back in time. This particular film, we're like late 90s, early 2000s. Did they nail the brief?
Look, it made me realise all of the fashion and a lot of the other things in the film, the way it was, people were speaking, and that definitely was an 80s film. Not 80s, sorry, 2000s and 90s. It was very much that way. You know, I think the music selection too really was powerful. So I think it works well. Sorry, I don't know why I thought about the 80s, but the 90s and late 90s, early 2000s was the arc for that film.
Which, you know, when they can nail that, and it does take you and transport you back to that time period. I have to say, I love the 80s, so don't worry, Danny. I think the music from the 80s is the only best music that there is.
We agree on that.
It's good. It's good that they can actually make you think you're back in that time period, because, you know, if they get something wrong or, you know, something's not really, a lot of people are going to pick it up and run with that and go, well, that's not right. That didn't happen then. Especially, you know, it's only 25, 30 years ago that this is based on. So a lot of us do remember that. JT probably doesn't, because he's young.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Well, I lived the 90s, Mr. Lee. I lived the 90s. I was only young. I was probably in nappies, but I lived the 90s. No, I wasn't in nappies. But, you know, yeah, it was. I thought the 90s was a great decade. I mean, a lot of people say the 80s, but, yeah, I think the 90s was a great time to be alive. The fashion was, as we often say, was quite questionable, but, yeah, it was a really good time. And I think it was a great time for sport too, which, you know, I think this movie shows that.
Yeah, and really, the decade does lend itself to the beginning of what we know now to be one of the most watched sporting events in the world. Mm. So it's really an homage to the beginning of that and the one man that sort of stood there with that. So I think that's why he was chosen, and his story resonated with people who love MMA and UFC.
Just going around the table here quickly, gents, can anybody name a UFC or MMA fighter that's around these
only
days?
Conor McGregor. No, he's not around today, no.
How about you, Mr. Lee? You're looking a bit puzzled over there, and no Googling.
Yeah. No, I couldn't tell you. You know, the only one that, and I know he was in WWE, I think it was Hulk Hogan, wasn't it, Hulk Hogan? So that's the only one I could name. But he wasn't in this one, this type of fighting, so.
The big ones, the Conor McGregors and the Ronda Rouseys. That's it.
Yes, the Ronda Rousey. Yeah. Well, that was huge. I remember when she had a massive fight a few years ago. It was like that was massive. And she lost, didn't she? I'm pretty sure she did. She lost that fight. Yeah,
she did. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest.
I believe that was here in Australia.
Yeah, it was.
I'm pretty sure it was here. Like in Melbourne or somewhere, but it was, she lost her title. She was on a run for lots of wins, and then Holly Holmes, I believe.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming. No, but and then she went on to write a book about it, and yeah, like it was, yeah. But it,
and she's done the reverse. She went into WWE.
Yeah, well, now she knows whether she's going to win or lose.
And that might have been because of the toll on the body. It's easier in WWE.
Agreed. I think so. Predetermined winners in those things.
Yeah, which is I don't get that. Like, I just don't. I don't know.
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem right when they know who's going to win the match and all that. Anyway, so going back to this, can I ask how did the name the Smashing Machine? How did he get that?
It was definitely tied into how he fought. Like, he just fought to win, and it was pounding them to the point where the bout was stopped because there was no response from anybody the opponent. So he just kept smashing them with his hands when they were on the ground, because he could wrestle them to the ground very well from his training from that, and then he would just start pounding on their head, and it would stop the fight.
So yeah. There was no one, like, he didn't kill anyone or anything, did he? Like, he didn't.
No, there wasn't any of that. Like, as far as I know, in the movie, everybody, you know, because he was very concerned. It seemed to me like there was a duality of him. The moment the fight was over, he was concerned about the person. There was a caring side to Mark Kerr. He wasn't, you know, he wanted to make sure each fighter, when it was stopped, was going to be okay, you know.
Oh, that's good. Now, can I ask one of the last questions that we're going to ask you is, what kind of audience do you think would actually want to watch this type of movie? Who do you think it was really aimed at?
Look, I think people who love sports films and want to see the true nature of sport and the origins of the sport really will like to go and see this film. And I really think if you're a fan of Dwayne Johnson and you want to see his acting range, I really think you're not going to be disappointed with this film, because it's a change in direction. It is a really great understated performance. And I really do think he earned the stripes of he can act. He's not just a wrestler who's trying to make money now in the field of Hollywood. I really do think there's a triumph in the film that shows you that he's got range, and that's what he wants to do with his acting. He doesn't want to stay that one-dimensional action figure man, and I think he succeeded in that. I mean, he did put a lot of work into getting ready for the film. 30 pounds of muscle he had to add onto the muscle he already had to be able to replicate what this man, Mark Kerr, looked like. So his commitment to the role was definitely so that he could show a range. And I think he succeeded. So I would hope that those people who support the Rock films will probably want to go and see this one for a difference.
I've just opened the freezer. So out of 5 Choc Tops, Danny, how many Choc Tops are you going to give the Smashing Machine, please?
4. Oh. 4 Choc Tops.
Oh, that is really good. Yeah, okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually shocked me.
Because when you what the film does for you is when you finish the film, you want to go and learn more about him, and that's what I did. I came straight home, put on a documentary about him, and you learn a lot that the film doesn't go a lot of detail into, and you hear it from his mouth. So it's a very interesting story, and it's got more layers once you add that to it. So,
How's Mark Kerr these days? Because obviously you've watched some documentaries. Yeah, like what's
he? Well, he went through homelessness. He's he did marry his partner, and they had a child, a son, and he's got a good strong connection with him, and they both co-parent together, even though they're not together. And he's just very much living a simple life. But there was a time when he fell on hard times outside of the ring and after this film, because it only goes to 2000. He actually continued fighting up until 2009. And that's where his record blew out to a lot more losses. But, you know, it's very much just a regular bloke. And what I really did love was Dwayne Johnson got to speak to the UFC, and he handed him his Hall of Fame. Mark Kerr is now in the UFC Hall of Fame. So that's what else I learned. So I think, yeah, no. I think there's a lot to learn about a man who, you know, yeah, that's what I loved about it, is that I wanted to learn more about him.
If a movie can do that to you, that's a good movie. And I understand why you gave it 4 out of 5. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Danny, for joining us today. We'll have to get you back on in the future to see another movie. Probably sounds not good. A wrestling or a boxing movie or something. We'll get you to see, watch something else. But yep. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Good on you, Danny. All right, Miss Lee, we're going to get out of here. Before we do, you know how it goes. Now, I've got a couple of would you like some jazz today or some rhythmic percussion? What are you feeling like?
Ooh. I'm feeling a bit jazzy.
I thought you would have gone rhythmic, but I do like it. All right. Okay, we'll play this while you let us know what's happening on Friday.
Yeah, look, we've got an Australian movie coming out. We actually had a bit of a preview screening for it last weekend that went really well. Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Brian Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. Gee, you've done your research, or did you go to the session? And I've got some news about Taylor Swift, because as everyone knows, we had Taylor Swift last weekend. So I've got some news on her. And we've also got a PG movie coming out, and it's called Night of the Zoopoplicus, I think it is. That's actually coming out next week. We're going to talk a little bit about that one, because it's after school holiday. So
Are you a Tay Tay fan, Denny?
Yes, the music, yes. The life, not so much. But the music, yes.
Oh, she goes all right, doesn't she? Good old Tay. Yeah. Hey, what do you reckon about her relationship with Travis Kelce? Like, let's be honest, it's what are your thoughts on that?
For me, I got to see him play in the NFL when I was in America. That was the only interest I had, and I did not care that, and she wasn't at the game, so she wasn't on the screen. So it was really good. So good on them. I'm happy for both of them, but the life is not what I'm interested in. The music is what I care about.
Yeah, I still smell a rat there. But as I always say, that's for another day, Mr. Lee, another podcast.
Another podcast. That might be on the other podcast we do.
We should go. I think it's lunchtime.
Yeah, we should.
All right, well, we'll catch you.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we'll go find something to eat.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Sounds good. We'll catch you Friday midday.
Bye.
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 Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.